We were discussing the United Nations on our last program, and today we'll just give a few more details on that world body, and then get into the topic of the World Bank and the Bank for International Settlements. The United Nations participated in major actions in Korea and the Congo, as well as approving the creation of the State of Israel back in 1947. The organization's membership grew significantly following widespread decolonization in the 1960s, and by the 1970s, its budget for economic and social development programs far outstripped its spending for peacekeeping. After the end of the Cold War, the UN took on major military and peacekeeping missions across the world with varying degrees of success. One major change from the Atlantic Charter was the addition of a provision for religious freedom, which Stalin approved after Roosevelt insisted. Now let's talk a little bit about the World Bank. The World Bank was created at the 1944 Bretton Woods Conference, along with three other institutions, including the International Monetary Fund. Although many countries were represented at the Bretton Woods Conference, the United States and the United Kingdom were the most powerful in attendance and dominated the negotiations. Officially, the World Bank was a specialized agency of the United Nations. In 1944, the first World Bank bonds were floated by Morgan Stanley at First Boston. The World Bank and the International Monetary Fund are both based in Washington, D.C., and work closely with each other. The Gold Room at the Mount Washington Hotel was where the IMF and the World Bank were established. In May 1946, the directors of the World Bank met for the first time in the headquarters on two floors of a new building at 1818 H Street near the White House. It's been there ever since. Eugene Mayer, a 70-year-old banker and publisher of the Washington Post and father of Katharine Graham, was appointed by President Truman as its first president. Since its inception in 1944, the World Bank has expanded from a single institution to a closely associated group of five development institutions. Their mission evolved from the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development as facilitator of post-war reconstruction and development to the present-day mandate of worldwide poverty alleviation in close coordination with their affiliate, the International Development Association, and other members of the World Bank Group. The International Finance Corporation and the Multilateral Guarantee Agency and the International Center for the Settlement of Investment Disputes. Once they had a homogeneous staff of engineers and financial analysts based solely in Washington, D.C. Today, they have a multidisciplinary and diverse staff that includes economists, public policy experts, sector experts, and social scientists, and now more than a third of their staff is based in country offices. Reconstruction remains an important part of their work. However, at today's World Bank, poverty reduction, though an exclusive and sustainable globalization remains the overacting goal of their work, UNICEF reported in the late 1990s that the structural adjustment programs of the World Bank have been responsible for reduced health, nutritional problems, and educational levels for tens of millions of children in Asia, Latin America, and Africa. Before 1968, the reconstruction and development loans provided by the World Bank were relatively small. Because the bank staff was aware of the need to instill confidence in the bank, fiscal conservatism ruled and loan applications had to meet strict criteria. The first country to receive a World Bank loan was France. The bank's president at the time was John McCloy. He chose France over two other applicants, Poland and Chile. The loan was for $250 million in United States money, which was only half the amount requested, and it came with strict conditions. France had to agree to produce a balanced budget and give priority of debt repayment to the World Bank over other governments. World Bank staff closely monitored the use of the funds to ensure that the French government met those conditions. In addition, before the loan was approved, the United States Department told the French government that its members associated with the Communist Party would first have to be removed. The French government complied with this diktat and removed the Communist Coalition government. Within hours, the loan to France was approved. When the Marshall Plan went into effect in 1947, many European countries began receiving aid from other sources. Faced with this competition, the World Bank shifted its focus to non-European countries. Until 1968, its loans were earmarked for the construction of income-producing infrastructure such as seaports, highway systems, and power plants that would generate enough income to enable the borrowing country to repay the loan. But from 1968 to 1980, the bank concentrated on meeting the basic needs of people in the developing world. The size and number of loans to borrowers was greatly increased as loan targets expanded from infrastructure into social services and other sectors. These changes can be attributed to Robert McNamara, who was appointed to the presidency in 1968 by Lyndon Baines Johnson. McNamara imported a technocratic managerial style to the bank, and that was the one he had used as United States Secretary of Defense and President of the Ford Motor Company. McNamara shifted bank policy toward measures such as building schools and hospitals, improving literacy, and agricultural reform. McNamara created a new system of gathering information from potential borrowing nations that enabled the bank to process loan applications much faster. To finance more loans, McNamara told bank treasurer Eugene Rotberg to seek out new sources of capital outside the northern banks that had been the primary source of bank funding. Rotberg used the global bond market to increase the capital available to the bank. One consequence of this period of poverty alleviation lending was the rapid rise of third world debt. From 1976 to 1980, developing world debt rose at an average annual rate of 20%. In 1980, the World Bank Administrative Tribunal was established to decide on disputes between World Bank Group and its staff where allegations of non-observance of contracts of employment or terms of appointment had not been met. In 1980, McNamara was succeeded by U.S. President Jimmy Carter's nominee, A.W. Clausen. Clausen replaced many members of McNamara's staff and instituted a new ideological focus. His 1982 decision to replace the bank's chief economist, Hollis B. Cheney, with Ann Kruger was an indication of this new focus. Kruger was known for her criticism of development funding and for describing third world governments as rent-seeking states. Now, if anyone can figure out what Kruger meant by rent-seeking states, please let me know. During the 1980s, the bank emphasized lending to service third world debt and structural adjustment policies designed to streamline the economies of developing nations. Beginning in 1989, in response to harsh criticism from many groups, the bank began including environmental groups and its loans to mitigate the past effects of its development policies that had prompted the criticism. It also formed an implementing agency in accordance with the Montreal Protocols to stop ozone depletion damage to the Earth's atmosphere by phasing out the use of 95% of ozone-depleting chemicals with a target date of 2015. That's next year, folks. Since then, in accordance with its so-called six strategic themes, the bank has put various additional policies into effect to preserve the environment while promoting development. For example, in 1991, the bank announced that to protect against deforestation, especially in the Amazon, it would not finance any commercial logging or infrastructure projects that harm the environment. In order to promote global public goods, the World Bank tries to control communicable diseases such as malaria, delivering vaccines to several parts of the world, and joining combat forces. In the year 2000, the bank announced a war on AIDS, and in 2011, the bank joined the Stop Tuberculosis Partnership. Less recently, a project to promote local tourism by the name of Project Magic was launched in 2010. Now let's talk a little bit about the Bank for International Settlements. This is the most powerful bank in the world. It is a global central bank for the eight families who control the private central banks of nearly every nation. The Bank for International Settlements was established in Basel, Switzerland in 1930. The first president of this bank was Rockefeller banker Gates McGarra. He was an official at Chase Manhattan and the Federal Reserve. McGarra is the grandfather of former CIA director Richard Helms. The Rockefellers and Morgans had close ties to the city of London, where the Rothschild headquarters are located. Author David Icke asserts in his book, Children of the Matriots, that the Rockefellers and Morgans were just American gophers for the European Rothschilds. The Bank for International Settlements is owned by the Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, the Bank of Italy, the Bank of Canada, the Swiss National Bank, the Netherlands Bank, the Brunswick Bank, and the Bank of France. Historian Carol Quigley says that the Bank for International Settlement was part of a plan to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole, to be controlled in a feudalistic fashion by the central banks of the world, acting in concert by secret agreements. The U.S. government did have a historical distrust of the Bank for International Settlement, lobbying unsuccessfully for the demise at the 1944 post-World War II Bretton Woods Conference. But instead, the eight families' power was exacerbated with the Bretton Woods creation of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. The U.S. Federal Reserve did not take shares in the Bank for International Settlement until September 1994. The Bank for International Settlement holds at least 10% of monetary reserves for at least 80% of the world's central banks, the International Monetary Fund, and other multinational institutions. The Bank for International Settlement holds at least 10% of money reserves for at least 80% of the world's central banks, the International Monetary Fund, and other multinational institutions. It serves as financial agent for international agreements, collects information on the global economy, and serves as a lender of last resort to prevent global financial collapse. The Bank for International Settlements promotes an agenda of monopoly, capitalistic fascism. It gave a bridge loan to Hungary in the 1990s to ensure privatization of that country's economy. It served as a conduit for Illuminati funding of Adolf Hitler, led by Warburg's J. Henry Schroeder and the Mendelssohn Bank of Amsterdam. Many researchers assert that the Bank for International Settlement is at the lowest point of global drug money laundering. It is no coincidence that the Bank for International Settlement is headquartered in Switzerland, which is a favorite hiding place for the wealth of the global aristocracy and headquarters for both the P2 Freemason Alpina Lodge and Nazi International. The French Lazard family became more involved if the House of Morgan interest at that time. Lazard Ferries, France's biggest investment bank, is owned by the Lazard and David Weill families, old Genoese banking scions represented by Michael DeVive. A recent chairman and CEO of Citigroup was Sanford Weill. In 1968, Morgan Guarantee launched Euroclear, a Brussels-based bank clearing system for Eurodollar securities. It was the first of such automated endeavors. Some took to calling the Euroclear the Beast. Brussels serves as headquarters for the new European Central Bank and for NATO. In 1973, Morgan officials met secretly in Bermuda to illegally resurrect the old House of Morgan, and that was 20 years before the Glass-Steagall Act was repealed. Morgan and the Rockefellers provided the financial backing for Merrill Lynch, boosting it into the five top U.S. investment banking firms. Merrill is now part of the Bank of America. John D. Rockefeller employed its oil wealth in acquiring Equitable Trust, which had gobbled up several large banks and corporations by the 1920s. The Great Depression helped consolidate Rockefeller's power. His Chase Bank merged with Kuhn Leib's Manhattan Bank to form Chase Manhattan, cementing a long-time family relationship. The Kuhn Leibs and Rothschilds financed Rockefeller's quest to become King of the Oil Patch. National City Bank of Cleveland provided John D. with the money needed to embark upon his monopolization of the U.S. oil industry. The bank was identified in congressional hearings as being one of the three Rothschild-owned banks in the U.S. during the 1870s when Rockefeller first incorporated as Standard Oil of Ohio. One Rockefeller Standard Oil partner was Edward Harkness, whose family came to control Chemical Bank. Another was James Stillman, whose family came to control Manufacturers Hanover Trust. Two of James Stillman's daughters married two of William Rockefeller's sons. Both banks are now part of J.P. Morgan Chase. These two families control Citigroup. In the insurance business, the Rockefellers control Metropolitan Life, Equitable Life, Prudential, and New York Life. Rockefeller banks control 25% of all assets of the 50 largest U.S. commercial banks and 30% of all assets of the 50 largest insurance companies. The first insurance company in the United States was launched by Freemasons through their Woodsmen of America company. As the Rockefellers' oil wealth amassed, the family moved into downstream investments, buying companies which manufactured oil-based products. For example, according to Nexus New Times magazines, the Rockefellers control 40% of the global pharmaceutical industry. Other companies under Rockefeller control include ExxonMobil, Chevron Texaco, BP Amoco, Marathon Oil, Freeport, Quaker Oats, Asarco, United Delta, Northwest, ITT, International Harvester, Xerox, Boeing, Westinghouse, Hewlett-Packard, Honeywell, International Paper, Pfizer, Motorola, Monsanto, Union Carbide, and General Foods. The Rockefeller Foundation has close financial ties to both the Ford and Carnegie Foundations. Other family philanthropic endeavors include Rockefeller Brothers Fund, Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research, General Education Board, Rockefeller University, and the University of Chicago, which churns out a steady stream of far-right economists such as Milton Friedman, who serve as apologists for international capital. The Bank for International Settlement holds at least 10% of monetary reserves for at least 80% of the world's central banks, the IMF, and other multilateral institutions. The family owns 30 Rockefeller Plaza, where the National Christmas Tree is lighted every year, and Rockefeller Center. David Rockefeller was instrumental in the construction of the World Trade Center towers. The main Rockefeller family home is the Hawking Complex in upstate New York, known as Pocantico Hills. They also own a 32-room Fifth Avenue duplex in Manhattan, a mansion in Washington, D.C., Monte Sacro in Venezuela, and coffee plantations in Ecuador, several farms in Brazil, an estate at Seal Harbor, Maine, and resorts in the Caribbean, Hawaii, and Puerto Rico. The Dulles and Rockefeller families are cousins. Alan Dulles created the CIA, assisted the Nazis, covered up the Kennedy hit from his Warren Commission perch, and struck a deal with the Muslim Brotherhood to create mind control assassins. Brother John Foster Dulles presided over the phony Goldman Sachs Trust before the 1929 stock market crash and helped his brother overthrow leftist governments in Iran and Guatemala. Both were Skull and Bones, CFR members, and 33rd degree Masons. The Rockefellers were instrumental in forming the Depopulation Orientation Club of Rome at their family estate in Bellagio, Italy. Their Pocantico Hills estate gave birth to the Trilateral Commission. The family is a major funder of the eugenics movement, which spawned Hitler, human cloning, and the current DNA obsession in the U.S. scientific circles. John Rockefeller Jr. headed the Population Council until his death. His namesake son is a senator from West Virginia. His brother, Winthrop Rockefeller, was Lieutenant Governor of Arkansas. In an October 1975 interview with Playboy magazine, Vice President Nelson Rockefeller, who was also Governor of New York, articulated his family's patronizing worldview. He said, quote, "I am a great believer in planning economic, social, political, military, total world planning. But of all the Rockefeller brothers, it is Trilateral Commission founder and Chase Manhattan chairman David who has spearheaded the family's fascist agenda on a global scale. He defended the Shah of Iran, the South African apartheid regime, and the Chilean Pinochet junta. He was the biggest financier of the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, and, during the Vietnamese War, the Committee for an Effective and Durable Peace in Asia, a contract bonanza for war profiteers. Nixon asked him to be Secretary of the Treasury, but Rockefeller declined the job, knowing his power was much greater at the helm of Chase. According to writer Gary Allen, in 1973, David Rockefeller met with 27 heads of state, including the rulers of Russia and Red China. Following the 1975 New Gann Haddon CIA coup against Nationalist Australian Prime Minister Gough Whitlam, the British Crown appointed successor Malcolm Fraser, who sped to the United States, where he met with President Gerald Ford only after conferring with David Rockefeller. In 1963, the euro-dollar market was worth around $148 million. By 1982, it was worth $2 trillion, while the U.S. M1 money supply stood at $442 billion. In 1950, U.S. corporations footed 26% of the total U.S. tax bill. By 1990, they were covering only 9%, contributing to mass budget deficits. In 2009, Exxon's net profit for that year was over $45 billion. But they, along with General Electric and the Bank of America, paid no federal taxes at all. It utilized subsidiaries in the British Crown-controlled Bahamas, Bermuda, and Cayman Islands to dodge the IRS. These opaque offshore euro-dollar markets also launder Saudi petrodollars, CIA drug money, and Mossad arms profits. Illicit funds come out squeaky clean on the balance sheets of the global mega banks. Selective Swiss banks play a key role also. Bretton Woods was a boon to the 8 financial families. But a few years ago, Rudolph M. Elmer, former head of the Cayman Islands office of the prominent Swiss bank Julian Baer, announced that he had handed over to WikiLeaks information on 2,000 prominent individuals and companies that he says engaged in other criminal activity. Elmer described those exposed as pillars of society. The utilization of Eurodollar offshore bank accounts by the super rich cost cash-strapped governments around the world trillions of dollars in annual revenue. The documents which Mr. Elmer turned over to the WikiLeaks will shed some light on certain pillars of society, but don't be surprised if the really big fish swim away with the bait. You know, the Class A stockholders of the Federal Reserve System, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the International Bank of Reconstruction, the Bank of England, plus the international banking houses of Frankfurt, Paris, Amsterdam, England, and the United States must have interlocking of stockholders. The International Monetary Fund and the World Bank were central to this New World Order. By the way, the following is from an article that appeared in the American Free Press in August 26, 2013. It says, quote, according to a recent report from Moody's, 16% of the 168 countries that have come under the International Monetary Fund control from 1983 until 2012 have gone bankrupt within 5 years. The report also states that 50% of the countries that went bankrupt since 1983 had adopted some type of International Monetary Fund programs at least 2 years before the bankruptcy. That number has risen to 70% since the year 2000. I guess that about sums up our show for today. Glad to have you listen, and hope you'll be back with me on the next Money Facts program. Until then, this is Scotch saying bye for now, and may God bless.